What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. And when I say welcome back, I mean welcome back, because it's good to be back. My name is Chris R. Farley, pro sports bettor, FarleyBets.com. Over 1,500 picks in 3 years of NBA betting, hitting at 54%, plus 126 units. Over 500 picks in 3 years of NFL betting, 55.5% hit rate, plus 91 units. Won fifth place in Circa Millions contest in 2021, arguably the hardest betting contest in the world, and our first time entering 114K cash prize. And if you don't know a little bit about my background, I'm a military veteran who then studied philosophy and theology and communications. And I have an industry job in communications, leadership, and management. But I've been trying to capture my career dream for the past 5 years or so. And about 5 years ago, I said, what is it that I do every single day that I can turn into a business, that I can create more from, that I could maybe capitalize on some of the skills that I've learned in school and in industry? And I decided to turn toward something that I digested, I researched, I read about, I listened to, and I have probably taken part in almost every single day for the past 10 years or so, and that's sports betting. And we are in our third season of Laying the Points with Farley Betts. Welcome all new listeners, returning listeners. Thank you for sticking with us as we take a little hiatus to enjoy the summer, take a deep breath, spend some time with the little four-month-old girl. She's 4 months now. She's the cutest thing in the fucking world. But I'm really excited to be back at Laying the Points with Farley Betts. Check out FarleyBets.com. Always giving out free picks and information over there too. And in case you don't know, this is a podcast where, yes, we give out free picks in your favorite sports. We succeed in mostly every sport that we bet. But we also go over sports betting strategy and philosophy to help you win your bets, to help grow your understanding of how this all works, so that when you come home from your 9 to 5, or when it's about to be the weekend and you want to bet on some Sunday games in the NFL or maybe some NBA playoffs, we are loading you with more information and strategy to help you win more. That's what this is all about. Speaking of which, on today's pod, which we usually have great guests in this pod, I'm flying solo today. Sometimes I like to just fly solo. Kind of feels nice just to listen to myself sometimes and not have to coordinate guests. So you'll get great guests in this show. Not today, just me. But you always get great topics. And today, part one of a book review, The Complete Book of Sports Betting by Jack Moore. Heard a lot about the book. It's very expensive to buy it anywhere, probably for a reason, right? This summer, I've just decided to take a step back, humble myself, investigate more about myself and my strategies and my processes and what I could be doing better. So I'm starting with this little book review of The Complete Book of Sports Betting, which many pros have touted as one of the better books to win, right, and to learn more. It's all about the blind method, which I will talk more about in later podcasts. We're going to talk about some of the beginning parts of that book today. Also going to talk a little bit about a term in the sports betting world that I think is overused, manipulated even by people who call themselves sports bettors in our marketplace. We'll get a little more into that. It's a lot, yeah, that's more of the strategy stuff, right? Probabilities versus reality, data versus doubt. Just a few teasers for that conversation. We'll also get into some WNBA free picks, at least one I got for you. We are 32 and 20 for plus 18 units in the WNBA. Going to give out some free Wimbledon picks. In tennis, we're 29 and 41. It's one of those sports where the record doesn't matter as much. But we are negative 4 units right now in tennis. We need to get back in the black over there. Got some Wimbledon takes, some Wimbledon bets that I really like for Thursday's slate. So I will prepare you for that. And then some free UFC 290 picks. Check out this record. You talk about a sport where if you sports bet it, the record doesn't really matter. 27 and 63 in the UFC for plus 11 units. That's how it goes in the UFC. You got to get those high value bets, right? That's what we look for. And also, in case you don't know already, there's a new NFL podcast that I'm going to be offering here in the Farley Betts Empire that I'm really excited about. It's going to be more of a roundtable discussion. I got some great guests to come on the show every single week, and we're growing the show. And I think it's going to be something different than what you've ever heard before. More of a longer form, back and forth, round table discussion about the NFL slate week to week from a betting perspective. So building that, look forward to that. That's the future of Laying the Points as we approach the NFL season. Also, check out FarleyBets.com. The site is different. It's updated. And I'm sharing my old premium picks now. So if you ever want to look back at my thought processes and how I approach the marketplace and how I approach my bets, you can always look at my historical premium picks. This show is brought to you by Better Edge. Got to check out Better Edge. Gaining a lot of steam in the sports betting community right now. Allows you to bet against your peers. And what that means is there's no VIG. Just like sports books, you know, they always charge you a little extra, right? Minus 110, minus 15, minus 120. If you're betting on the favorite, at Better Edge, you'd pay something like probably minus 101, minus 102, plus 100, because you're setting lines against each other. And trust me, it works. You have more money in your account at the end of the day. I've used it. I've utilized it. I've liked it. It's awesome. Check out Better Edge, social betting marketplace where you can share articles or read articles and get a lot of information there, different podcasts, different experts in the sports betting community. You can also take part in contests, competitions. Type in Farley, F-A-R-L-E-Y, in the promo code area, or go to betteredge.com/Farley to get a free $20 to play with right now. Got to check out Better Edge. I'm getting a lot of steam. All right, let's talk a little bit about this complete book of sports betting by Jack Moore, which, again, I it's all leading up to this blind method, right, of betting, which I've heard about before. I know some things about before. I'm looking forward to learning more about it. But let me talk about the first kind of half of the book right now, just some things I really liked. First 70 pages or so are, you know, pretty fundamental information. If you're a pretty seasoned sports bettor, you know about what happens when odds makers set the lines and things like that. Maybe you don't have to read the first 70 pages, but he gets into something that I really like. And he confronts these misconceptions in sports betting that I think are really, really important to think about. And I put out this poll or survey, whatever, last week, which got a lot of, you know, Steve Fezzik responding like, you asked the question wrong. And like, okay, I probably could have asked the question better, but basically I asked, if a bettor has 10 bets to make in 1 week or one bet to make in 1 week, what's the right strategy, right? If one bettor is going, I'm going to spread my money out. Let's say one bettor makes 100 bets in a week, which there are plenty of people making 100 bets in a week. We know that, right? That might be a low number for some people. Versus a bettor who maybe just makes one bet for the very same amount, the same amount of money. First of all, that is not the same exposure, okay? You might say, it's the same exposure financially, right? No. We think too much about money management. Yeah, money management is important, okay? Consistent unit size and allocation. But more important is how often you're betting. The less exposure you have, the less frequency you have betting against the book, the more you will succeed long-term, because the book has inherent built-in edges against you at all times, right? They charge you that VIG. They have knowledge that you couldn't possibly know. You don't know why the lines are moving in one direction or another. You don't know why the sharps are betting on the lines to move, one way or the other. And we'll get to that more later, because that kind of supports another point I'm going to make today. But the thought is, how arrogant is it to say that you could spread 100 bets over a week and you can have a consistent edge? Yeah, your models, your perspective, your processes, whatever, you have a consistent edge in those 100 bets. You have the time to gain an edge on all 100 of those bets. You probably don't have the time to gain a real edge on 50% of those bets. And the sports book already has an edge. So putting your time, your energy into one game that you really like, over time, that's the better practice. And we see the person who spreads their money out as being somebody who's practicing it better. It's not, because the book has built-in edges against you that no matter how sharp you are, or how sharp you think you are, in the long run, you will make less money, which is what this is all about, right? Because think about it. You might place 100 bets over the course of a year as opposed to 100 bets over a week. And how fewer chances are you giving the book to assert those edges that they have over you, right? So money management, important, maybe not as important as the frequency at which you bet. Be judicious in the way you bet. Something for that I really need to think about, because I know that I expose myself way too much. Such a creepy phrase, expose myself. But I did. I bet too much on the NBA last year. That's part of the reason why my record dropped a little bit. It is what it is, right? Sometimes you got to learn the hard way. But I really like that he's emphasizing that. How about this notion that the books are way off? Oh, the books set the line at Eagles minus 2. Eagles beat the Giants by 21 points. What are we doing here? Boy, those odds makers were way off. Not really. No, they're not. Because at the end of the day, it's a 50-50 thing, right? The odds makers are trying to create lines that creates a winning situation for themselves. In other words, 50% of bets on both sides. Now, of course, this is something that I've already known. But this notion that people say, oh, the books were way off. We don't know the liabilities that the sports book has. If it's a sharp book, for example, maybe all the more public books are just following that line movement, right? That happens. If a 14-point favorite, right, wins by 3 points, or a 42-point college football total resulted in 58 points with a ton of turnovers and quick scores, and then those same two teams face each other later and the total is even lower at 41, that perception hasn't gone away, right? There's evidence to suggest that 50% of the bets will come on each side of that total number at 41. And a 14-point favorite who just won by 3 points might still be a 12-point favorite against a similar team or 14-point favorite the next week. Because the odds makers are just setting it based on that 50-50 mark. It ain't about the odds makers were way off, right? That's not a thing, okay? They're not trying to be right. They're not trying to set the line so that it reflects the exact score afterwards. That's not what they're trying to do. They're trying to attract 50% of the bets on both sides with that built-in vig. If they did that correctly every time, they would win. And they do it pretty damn good. How about the hot game fallacy? Following steam, right? Oh, that line went up from 3 to 5. That's the right side. Better put a teaser on it. Maybe I'll just bet it straight up at -5. Even though it's -5, this is clearly the right side. It's getting steamed up. And then the line doesn't move, right, for the rest of the week. Sits there at 5. The right number was probably 3. The sharper number was probably 3. But now we're attracted to the 5, right? Or a total moves up, and now we're attracted to that total going over, even though it moved up 4 to 5 points, sometimes happens in college football. Maybe you don't have the right number anymore. So again, not things that I necessarily had to be taught personally, but great reminders of how little we know, right? Because there's a lot of sentimentality right now in the sports betting industry from touts and people selling picks. There's a lot of knowing that they're claiming, right? But when it comes to what the sharps are thinking and doing, what the odds makers are thinking and doing, or even simply what the right number is, right? Like we use that term a lot. This is the right number. We don't really know. And that's a very comfortable thought for me, okay? Because my background is philosophy. A lot of these guys and girls in sports betting, maybe they have a quant background, right? Statistics background. So they're creating models and everything, you know, they're trudging through data and adding it and taking some out and trying to create an edge as best as they can, right? Which leads me into the next topic. Plus EV. Had a great discussion with some sports bettors on Twitter about this. What is EV? What is expected value? Well, it's the implied probability that you have or that you don't have, right? Positive expected value or plus EV, and negative expected value or minus EV. So for example, right, if a book assigns a team, let's say the Seahawks against the Patriots, a plus 100 line, that would translate to a 50% winning probability, says the odds makers, right? It's even. It's even money or a coin flip. And if that bettor believes that the Seahawks actually have a greater chance than 50% to win that game, then they would assign positive expected value to that bet. If that bettor believes the team has less than a 50% chance to win, they would assign a negative expected value. But that EV exists as a real tangible thing is not a debate, because it doesn't exist on its own, okay? It's not a tangible thing. And my problem with the way EV is talked about, what people are making us believe, or making the betting public believe, that they can bottle it up, sell it, play with it, find it, know it, their model, right? It's usually based off of a model. That's my issue, is the way that it's talked about. I'm a plus EV bettor. Okay. I think I'm a plus EV bettor too. I think we should all be striving to be plus EV bettors. Isn't that the only time that we'd ever make a bet? Like, are you making a bet that you think is 51% likely, but you're betting it at minus 145? I hope not. But we're just grossly overusing the term. Or either we're grossly overusing the term, or we're defining the term in a manipulative way. I think both are true. I mean, are there negative EV bettors out there? I don't see anybody touting that. I like the book so far because it reminds us of the pitfalls to our thinking, right? And that doesn't change. But we all do it. The sharps have shifted the line. We should follow it. The sharps shifted the line on Wednesday, but I got a better line on Monday. I got closing line value, baby. I got plus EV. Sure, you got CLV in the implied sense, in the me versus the market sense. And to be fair, that's all anyone is trying to do, right? Because over time, the market proves efficient. So in no way am I saying that we shouldn't be trying to achieve plus EV. But the way that we market it, promote it, talk about it, as if our model, our edge, is this real tangible thing, is impossible. Like, I don't know if we understand that, but it's impossible for that to be true. You get a -2.5 line for plus 100, and your model says it should be -4.5. Now, the sharps just moved it to 3.5. The team you bet on covers by 4 or 5. So you assume that your model was correct, right? You had it at -4.5 and moved up. It ended between 4 and 5. Your model's correct, right? This is the black and white thinking that we have, the objective thinking that we have about EV or plus EV. That was a plus EV bet. I promise we're not saying to ourselves, I bet very few are saying to themselves, ooh, that didn't work. Gotta adjust this model big time. Probably not. Probably too much work to make those huge adjustments, right? But what's wrong with that notion that your model was correct in that instance? First of all, there's no proof that your model and process pointed out the correct elements to create that win. And you can look at the tape and you can say, yep, this is what I thought was going to happen. But you still have no idea why the sharps or why the syndicate moved that line. There's a lot of syndicates out there. They could have moved that line because they had a prior position, right? Maybe they bought on the other side earlier in the season, and now they're buying back. Who knows? Maybe they have a big teaser on the other side, so they're buying back. You also don't know that they're correct. Sure, they're sharps. Maybe they were correct this time. And maybe the reason they covered was explicitly because of the reasons you pointed out. That's true. Maybe it's really like evident, right, that you pointed it out. But we still have no idea about the team interactions throughout the week, who might have been injured and not leaving the game, what kind of game plan they rolled out or how they pivoted. We don't really know those things. Like, we're not in the locker room. So this plus EV notion, it's a preliminary notion, right? Like, you can't say you got plus EV after the fact. Saying that you're a plus EV bettor means that you got better odds before the game started, because that's how it's defined. Is implied probability. Probability is referring to before an event. and saying that you have plus EV before an event happens, that's okay. If you say, I think this is a plus EV bet, that's fine. But to say that you know this is plus EV, what? I know it's hard for pros who have been around 5, 10, 20, 30 years. Over time, their methods have proved correct, right? They're successful. But the point is, there's little value in thinking that you know anything in a real sense. And I think that's my greater point here. I like to stick with the I don't know mentality and make adjustments routinely, or maybe not make adjustments if I think something's off because of other perspectives that I might have about a team or a situation, right? I'm not going to assume that I know or don't know anything. And I admit, maybe this suits me better, right? Like, I can tend to get overconfident. I can tend to get cocky. That's true. When I win a lot, I can get fired up, man. Just start believing in myself a little too much. So it helps me in my process, my humility, to know that I really don't know anything. It's all just estimated guesses. It doesn't matter how great your model is. It's still just a really, really estimated, but it's still a guess. But these brands are built off of plus EV. Modelers and math whizzes, they swear by their methods. And why wouldn't they, right? Again, it's part of their brand. But at the end of the day, it's just theory. There's a chance that somebody who just observes a sport, they write nuanced notes in the game, no model, could be creating a better edge than what that historical modeler has obtained. There's also a chance that a better that analyzes markets and performance and never watches a game has an even better edge than the next guy. These are all possible. And I think, you know, some of it for me is attached to my religious perspectives. I'm very agnostic now, but I grew up very religious, you know, and when I won Circa, I was very agnostic that season. I didn't overly bet anything that I saw or believed in. I didn't overly believe in anything I saw. I often made selections that were very uncomfortable, selections that went against my ratings or that went against line movement and sharp movement. I think it works better for me to know that at the end of the day, this is all subjective. But I think we have to be careful as sports bettors, touts, people who sell picks, and you have to be careful as the betting public to just blindly follow these bettors out there who say, I'm a plus EV bettor. Here's why. Guaranteed success. Because a lot of times that's the verbiage, the manipulative verbiage that comes along with it. And because EV is a preliminary concept, you can't know. But you can feel really good about it. And trust me, I interacted with some people after I said that on Twitter. You got some guys and girls out there who are so damn sharp. I mean, they are invested and ingrained in the sports and the betting and the marketplace 24/7. Odds are they probably have an edge. They're probably routinely spitting out edges against the sports books. That's probably true. They just don't know it. All right, let's get to some free picks. It is Wednesday, July 5th. In the WNBA, we have quite a few games on the slate here. And, you know, we talk about perceived edges. I think I have a perceived edge in a game that I already selected. Liberty minus 12. That's up to minus 15 now. We'll see what happens. But I think there's good reason for the line movement. I think that I have great closing line value. And I think it's going to hit Liberty minus 12. Do not buy back points to make it minus 12 for you. The number is gone, okay? We do know, quantifiably, that buying points in basketball does not work over time. It's not worth the bang for your buck. Let's put it that way. We can't prove it with all the numbers in this show. Just trust us. So don't buy back. But we did get Liberty minus 12. But I'm not going to give you a pick that I already gave out to my premium customers. I'm not going to give you a pick that you can't get anymore. Let's talk about the Atlanta Dream and the LA Sparks. The Sparks are a team that I believed in to start the season. Do not believe in them anymore. Just the pace and the aggression that Atlanta has offensively. They're not even that great of a shooting team, but they consistently drive to the rim. They consistently push the pace. LA just doesn't have the defense, especially interior front court wise. And I don't think they can stop the Dream again in this game. I know this one is not in Atlanta. Atlanta's now on the road, but I'm going with the Dream in this one again. I believe in their offense, and we've seen the Dream consistently pound inferior teams and inferior defenses, including some really good teams recently. So I like the Dream again. They're underdogs at this point. I think there's some good value on the Dream. All right, now how about Wimbledon? I much prefer to bet women's tennis. The matches are shorter. I believe that there's more that you can extract in women's tennis as far as inequality in the matchups and kind of how they match up against each other, right? So I almost always bet women's tennis only. I get the men in there sometimes. It's just, man, sitting down for a 4-hour game and watching tennis and trying to, you know, perceive what's going on there. It's a load. It's a lot to ask. Anyway, tomorrow, Thursday morning, we got Markéta Vondrousova versus Veronika Kudermetova. And I'm taking them over 2.5 sets. They've squared off before. The underdog, which is Markéta. Who is Markéta Vondrousova? Man, I'm probably killing that name, huh? Vondrousova. She has bested Kudermetova twice before. But Kudermetova is in great form right now, looking dominant on grass. 7-2 heading into this matchup on grass. And she even has a recent win against Sabalenka in straight sets. I think that Vondrousova is good enough to win a set, but Kudermetova eventually wins. So I would look at maybe Kudermetova 2-1 in a win here in this match over 2.5 sets. Both would be for plus money. I would also consider a futures bet on Daria Kasatkina, sitting at plus 2,800 to win the Wimbledon women's side. She has been on an absolute tear recently, doing really well on grass too, and I think she's underrated. I mean, look at her recent matches. She's dominating inferior competition. Maybe she needs Iga to falter at one point so that she doesn't have to face her later, but I don't know if any other competitor is a clear, better tennis player than the way that Daria Kasatkina is playing tennis right now. So look at her, really good odds there, really good value, maybe quarter unit or something like that on her winning it all. Finally, the UFC, UFC 290. We've got a fantastic card coming up in the UFC. I mean, Volkanovski is one of the best fighters to probably ever step in a UFC octagon. But Yair Rodriguez, man, that dude is different. His striking is crazy. Like, he's a phenom, right? He's like a little prodigy. That's going to be a great fight to watch. Still think Volkanovski probably does it by decision. But that one's really interesting. I got some more premium plays on that fight as well. But I really like Robert Whittaker by KO or TKO, which you can get plus 135 at FanDuel. Last time I checked this morning, it's been nearly a year since we've seen Whittaker, but I love that he's back. I love who the UFC has him against even more. I mean, somehow this Dricus Duplessis, whose name is as annoying as the way that he wins, he survived multiple fights recently that he probably should have been knocked the fuck out of. And I give the guy credit. Duplessis? The guy has a chin. He finds a way to eke out these wins. Got to give him credit for that, right? He's a savvy, resilient fighter. Whitaker's different. This guy hasn't lost against anybody not named Israel Adesanya in a decade. He's a veteran. His striking power is different than what Duplessis has felt so far. I think he knocks him out. Robert Whittaker, this is his last chance to ascend in the middleweight rankings. He's beaten everybody who has a great name in the middleweight division, except for Israel. And I think he comes here to absolutely pound a fighter who, let's face it, is due to be knocked out. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much, as always, for listening to Laying the Points of Farley Bets. Check us out at farleybets.com. Go to betteredge.com/Farley and get that free $20 over there. We'll be back next week with more great takes, strategy, more of a book review, and maybe a great guest to cap it all off. And as always, more free picks. Let's win some damn money. Farley Bets out of here. See you later.